Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us as we talk about flowering houseplants on the show. Back with us, Lisa Eldred Steinkopf. She writes the Houseplant Guru blog, and she has a new book out, Dandy. It's titled Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. So, as we talk houseplants with Lisa, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Lisa, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I just thought it was an interesting story, and maybe you could tell us how you got involved with houseplants. You were pretty young when you first developed an interest.
I was. I grew up, you know, in a rural area, and my brother, who is a forester, we were all the time outside playing, and we just loved plants. And I really love houseplants. My grandma had beautiful African violets on her window, which is, I have a picture in the book, one of her pictures. She would be so excited if she knew that was happening. And my mom had a fern that I still own that I watched her take care of all my life. We just love plants.
Oh.
And I married a man who owns a garden center. What more could, you know, come on.
Well, and you got a lot of practical experience with that, I'm sure.
We're obsessed with plants over here. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, you've got a really cool blog. Tell us about the blog.
I started that, and I'll tell you, I was so scared to start it when I first started. I think back in 2011, and you know, people were blogging, and I was so scared to do it, and I was asking my kids if it sounded okay and if I should just push. Like, who did I know if anybody was even going to read it, right? But I was so scared to put it out there in the world, and I did, and I just wanted. I love plants, and I wanted to write about them and share about them, and that's what I do.
Yeah, it's been going a long time, and now you have this wonderful new book titled Bloom, subtitled The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. And I got to tell you, when I visit friends or family members, I see lots of plants, but it's the rare plants that I see that are flowering. You know, and when you do see one, maybe a bromeliad like the one on your cover of your book, I mean, it draws you right to it. But there are differences between caring for houseplants, I think, that flower versus those that don't bloom.
Well, I think the number one thing is that they're probably going to need more light. You're not really going to find any blooming houseplants, like say in a north window, or you know, if you have a really dark home, they need more light to bloom. It takes a lot of energy to bloom, and the only energy they're getting is from the sun, or supplemental light. If you have lights, you know, in your home, like LED lights or grow lights, that will be a total game changer. But they really need a lot of light to most of them, I should say, to bloom.
Yeah.
So I think that's, and a lot of people think it's hard. Like, I can't do that. I can't get a plant to bloom. I'm just going to stick with this pothos, which is, there's nothing wrong with those. But if you want some blooms, it's not too hard.
Well, one of the things that was interesting to me in your book is you talk about knowing the origin of your plant, where it originated, and why is that so important?
Well, let's take a plant that's really popular right now, well, other than the poinsettia, but the holiday cacti or cactus. There's Thanksgiving and there's Christmas and there's Easter. But everybody thinks, you know, to know the origins of that, it's called a cactus. It is a true cactus, which a lot of people are surprised by, but it's not a desert cactus. It's a jungle cactus. It grows as an epiphyte in the tops of trees in the Brazilian jungle. So it doesn't want to dry out like a regular cactus. You know, it needs added humidity. So I think to know where your plant's coming from makes a difference. And as far as photoperiodism too, like if it's a short day plant or a long day plant, that kind of like African violets are day neutral. They kind of grow near the equator. They have 12 hours on, 12 hours off, and that's what they want. They'll bloom any time of the year if they have the right light.
Yeah. How did we get the varieties that we have now?
Oh, I mean, I look at the picture of my grandma's African violets on her windowsill back in, I don't even know what year this was taken, but as long as I can remember, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You can look it up. long time. And, you know, she had blue and pink and or the bluish or the purple, pink and white. Those were the choices had back then. And now they've hybridized them. They've taken that one that maybe there was a sport. You know, there's a whole table of purple violets, and all of a sudden there's one over there that's kind of maybe a lighter violet, or it's, you know, a darker violet. So we're going to take that and we're going to cross it with some other plant over here, and pretty soon they have all colors. I mean, if she could see the plants now, I go to African violet shows, and there's, you know, chimera ones, which are the striped ones. There's variegated foliage. There's yellow violets now. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. Don in Bayfield has a question for us already, so let's go there. Don, okay. Hi.
Hi. What would be the best window side of the house to put a poinsettia in the window?
Well, if you want to, you know, at this point, the good thing about when you buy a plant that's already blooming, and of course we know the bracts are the just modified leaves, the colored parts, but it still has a flower in the center, a little tiny flower. When a plant is already blooming, you don't have to worry about which window it is in. But if you want to get it to rebloom again for you in your home, then you have to worry about the window. So, you know, a poinsettia just needs some bright light because it still needs to photosynthesize to stay alive. So, you know, maybe an east window, a west window. I mean, it probably could even go in a south window, but you just would have to be very careful about its watering, you know, making sure it stays watered because it will dry out quicker with more sun.
Yeah. And watering, you deal with watering in your book. And what are the mistakes we make and how do we get around them?
Well, let's stay on the poinsettia kick here. You know, when you buy a poinsettia, make sure that, you know, they always have those beautiful pot covers, right? Make sure you feel that. Sometimes when you pick those up, it's really heavy and you can feel that there's water in the bottom of that cover. You don't know how long that's been there. It could be already have root rot. So we're going to steer away from that one. So make sure that you check that sleeve. You have drainage holes in your pots. When you water that, any plant that's in a sleeve, to take it out of the sleeve or the pot cover and take it to the sink and water it thoroughly until water comes out the drainage holes. Let it drain and then put it back in that sleeve. Don't let your plant stand in water because good things are not going to happen. It's going to die. But you also need to make sure that it's watered. You know, you got to make sure it stays. Most plants, I say that, they want to stay, you know, with some moisture still in the container. They don't want to be standing in water, yet they don't want to be bone dry either, because that's not good either.
Don, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Mark in New Glarus emailed, every year when he brings his lime tree inside for the winter, it loses its leaves. He says he's careful about watering and have it in the sunniest window in the house, but wonders if a grow light would help. And I have one, had one too, limey, and he wonders how limey does when I bring it.
Oh, yes, you do have limey. I forgot about limey until you just reminded me.
Limey.
Is he alive and doing well?
Yeah. First, what's your advice?
Well, every plant, I tell people, if it's outside for the summer, hopefully you acclimated it going out. You put it in a shady spot before you just plopped it out on the patio, right? We're from the Midwest. We know what we look like after the Michigan and Wisconsin winter. We're kind of pasty. Don't plop me out on the patio. I'm going to burn. So you're kind of acclimated out to the full sun. But you need to do the same thing coming back in. When you decide to start, you know, a few weeks before you want to, or a couple weeks before you want to bring your plant in, start putting it in a darker spot, you know, on the north side of your house or under a tree. So it gets used to the fact that it's going to get less light. And then you bring it in your house. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't acclimated it, it's shocked. It's going to drop a leaf that cannot support with the amount of light that it has. So if it can't support all those leaves because it doesn't have enough light to make enough food for them, it's going to get rid of them. It's survival of the fittest. So acclimate it bringing in, and if you have a grow light, that's awesome. I think that would make a big difference.
Yeah, I've used a pole lamp for a grow light. It gets light coming in from three different angles. And that limey has always flowered very much after being brought in, after a little bit, not very long, and then starts laying out limes.
So, oh, that's awesome. I mean, the smell of a citrus tree in bloom is amazing. So do you acclimate it? And after I said all that, is that how you bring yours in?
Yeah.
Are you bringing back in from outside?
Yep. It sits on the second deck, second story deck, and it's a south facing. So it gets a lot of sun anyway.
A lot of sun. And my biggest thing I tell people is, I personally like to wash windows. I don't know what's wrong with me, something. But wash your windows in the fall before you bring your plants in. And you'd be surprised how dirty your windows are, even on the inside. You know, I burn candles and we have fireplace going all winter, and it's the windows are dirty outside and in. So if you water, if you wash your windows, you'd be surprised how much more light your plants are going to get. And remember when our family used to take, my dad used to take the screens out for the winter and put the storm windows in. Well, now we all have amazing windows, usually, hopefully, that don't need to be taken out and changed. But if you can get your screen out, that blocks 30% of the sun. So if you can take your screen out for the winter and store it, if you have the capabilities of doing that, that would make a huge difference, as well as washing the windows.
Yeah.
Along with.
Another Lisa, a friend of mine, washed my windows this fall, and it was absolutely amazing. Kind of embarrassing, yeah. Actually, after I...
You look at that paper. I use a paper towel, or sometimes people just use, newspaper. But if you use a paper towel or something white, and then you wipe down the windows, you're like, oh, man. Wow. That is embarrassing.
Oh, man.
And shocking.
Sharon emailed. She's had houseplants for over 40 years, so she's not new to the game. But this year, this is the first year she is seeing gnats, or flying bugs smaller than a pinhead. She thinks they came with a new Christmas cactus somebody gave her and wonders how to get rid of them.
That can very much be true. They're always in moist soil. They like, very, very moist soil. So let your plant dry down. If you can remove the top inch or so of the potting medium and replace it, because that's where they live, that would be helpful. But really, it was probably yes in your Christmas cactus. And there's, I just tell my family it's fruit flies, and they're, there must be a piece of rotting fruit someplace, because there's quite a few of them in my house. But also, they make those, those mosquito dunks.
Yeah.
You put in like your bird baths and ponds. Now they make mosquito bits. They're little bits, and they are actually labeled for houseplants.
Oh.
And they get rid of the fungus gnats.
There
so
you go.
You might want to try that.
Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, our guest today. Her new book is called Bloom: The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year Round. Hope you'll join in with your questions. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Tyler Ditter is our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, Houseplant Guru, that's her blog, and her new book is called Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. Join in with your questions. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Let's go back to lights for just a minute before we go to the phones, Lisa. Grow lights, how do you choose them?
You know, my African violets grow on stands, and I have some other plants on there as well. And I use LED, they look like shop lights, like the old-fashioned fluorescent light fixture, but they have LED lights in those. And you can find those, you know, anywhere, box stores or, you know, your growing store. But I also, I have this light. It's a spotlight. It's from Soltech. And this isn't an ad. I'm not paid to say that. But I bought one when I was, and it's in my book. It shows it. And it's just a spotlight. And I'm telling you, I have a goldfish plant that has not quit blooming. And it's been under that light. And usually I kill goldfish plants. I'm going to tell you that's true. And it is just, it's just crazy how much it's growing and how it's just been in bloom the whole time. So the plants are just growing amazingly under that. So I guess find one that works for you. The spotlight could be for a big plant. You know, if you have a floor plant, get a, you know, a light that hangs above it. If you have a lot of plants, they have all kinds of these, like, you know, like I said, the, if you don't want it to look really, don't care kind of what it looks like. I mean, it's just, I have some open wire shelves with lights hanging from with a lot of plants on it. But they also have so many decorative, you know, like if you go to Garden Supply, they have like amazing, like pieces of furniture. They look like pieces of furniture, but they're, you can grow plants in them. So, I mean, they're just everywhere.
Ed, somebody's already asking, what was the name of that spotlight type that you use?
Soltech, S-O-L-T-E-C-H. They're kind of, I'm not going to lie, they're a little pricey, but I'm amazed how well it works. But I mean, there are other, you know, just find, it's just a grow light that's a spotlight, and I hang it from the ceiling, and it's amazing how well it does. You don't, you know, there's lots of them out there, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Let's take a call. Dwayne in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Yes, I successfully sprouted two avocado pits. And right now they're both about 2 feet high. The problem I'm having with one of them is the lower leaves are all like curling and shriveling up. And no matter how I adjust the water or lighting, they just don't want to seem to spring back to life. Am I doing something wrong? Or
what do you?
I guess I would have to. You know, I'm a very picture. You know, I like to picture things. So you have an avocado and it's growing and it's getting tall. It's got good light. Top leaves look fine. You don't see any insects or anything, and you're keeping it evenly moist.
Yes, I am, and the other plant is doing fine. I keep them in the west window in my living room.
Oh, so one's doing good and one isn't. Then it's a bad pit. It's a Brad pit. No, it's a bad pit. I don't know. I mean, you know, every plant is different. I tell people that, like we said, we own a garden center. And, you know, they'll say, I have two arborvitae or a row of arborvitae, and this one isn't doing well. Well, it could be the plant. Because if they're both growing right next to each other and you're giving them the same care, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that one isn't doing well. And you've checked the drainage hole. It has a good drainage hole.
Yes.
Well,
and
you're, I don't know.
It might be just a bad pit.
Me. That's what I said. It's a bad pit. I don't know. Just keep trying. I mean, maybe cut it back if you don't want to hear it. I don't know. And maybe it'll sprout some new, you know, something new and better.
Okay,
not being very helpful.
I'm sorry.
I am sorry. I mean,
yeah.
Since you still have one that's doing well, you know, that way you have a backup. I always say have a backup.
There you go, Dwayne. Thanks very much. Yeah, try cutting it. How do you cut one of those back?
I mean, well, it's a, you know, it has a tree. You know, it's a tree growing straight up. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I can say I never have grown one. That you could cut the top off, and then it will shoot out its lateral buds.
There you go. Dwayne, thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's talk soil for a minute, or potting medium, we might say. What kind of soils do flowering houseplants typically like?
Well, I think, you know, it obviously depends on the plant. If you have a plant that's a normal flowering houseplant, it's just, you probably would use the same soil you use for your potted, you know, foliage plants. But if it's an orchid, of course, you want to use some kind of orchid bark or sphagnum moss. And if it's a holiday cactus or any cactus that's flowering, you're going to want to use a really high porosity, fast draining soil mix. So I usually mix my own because, like I said, we own a garden center. So I get, and I have about 1,000 houseplants. So I get big bags of stuff and I mix it. But if you're going out to buy just a commercial mix, I don't recommend buying one with fertilizer already in it. So that probably tells you which one I'm talking about. I buy like an organic, just a potting mix. And sometimes it's hard to find a potting mix that doesn't have soil. Do not get soil moist in it, whatever you do. That's for outdoor potting. And it's not bad to have the fertilizer in it, but I just like to be in charge of that myself. And as you know, here in Wisconsin and Michigan, we're in the upper Midwest here. I really don't fertilize during the winter too much, so I wouldn't buy that soil. So I buy a soil that's just a regular potting mix, and then I sometimes add some perlite, some vermiculite. Sometimes if I'm doing it this isn't a flowering house plant, but like a fern or something that, needs some extra, or even my cactus mix, I'll put some orchid bark in with it. So I kind of just like mix it all together and see how it goes.
And go from there, yeah. And yeah. And you mentioned fertilizer. There are fertilizers, I believe you talk about in the book, that are specifically for houseplants.
Yes. And like if you have a cactus that flowers, any cactus or some other succulent, not necessarily holiday cacti, but you don't want to use buy a fertilizer that is for cactus because they have that low nitrogen, that low first number. Because if you give them, that's for the foliage, that's to push out some new foliage growth or to help with that. And with cacti and succulents, you don't want them to get long and lanky. You want them to stay the shape they're supposed to be. So buy a special cactus, fertilizer. But when it comes to the bloom, like a lot of them say bloom booster, that is what it is. If a lot of people tell me my houseplant's not blooming, so I bought some fertilizer and I fertilized it. Well, nothing is going to make your plant bloom except for light, the sun or supplemental light. They have to have enough light to be able to make blooms. A bloom booster fertilizer is just to make your blooms maybe last longer, be a nice darker color, maybe get a little bigger, but they're not going to make your plant bloom. So just kind of, I just use a 20-20-20. I use Jack's Classic because we own a small garden center, independent garden center, and that's what we've had there for years. We have a lot more now, but we've always had, that water soluble, and that's what I use, and it works. So there you go.
You're using what works. Lisa.
Yeah.
Eldred Steinkopf, our guest today, her book is titled Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. You can join in with your questions, and we'll get you on pretty quickly. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email to ideas@wpr.org. Julie in Altoona emailed to ask, this goes back to lighting again, how many hours a day do you keep a grow light on your houseplants?
So that I used to have the old-fashioned fluorescent T12, just like, the old-fashioned big lights, and I'd have those on 12, 13 hours a day. But when you have LEDs, you can lower it down, especially if there's a window in your room that's also giving your plant some light. I would say maybe 7 to 8 hours. So LEDs are definitely more cost and energy efficient. My Soltec light, the one that's hanging, I actually have that on. It's probably on 10 or 12 hours a day.
10 or 12 hours.
So it just
hours.
Depends on whatever your plants. If your plants, like especially with African violets, just as an example, if your plants are like hugging the pot, like the leaves are pulling down over the edge of the pot, or they're getting brown spots on them. That may be too much light. They may be getting, it's just too much light. So it's trying to get away from the light. It's drawing away from the light. If it's stretching toward the light, then you probably don't have it on long enough or close enough to your lights.
And that distance, what's the typical distance again for grow lights?
Well, my African violets are about, probably about 4 or 5, 6 inches away from the light.
So pretty close.
I mean, you don't want them really, yeah. I mean, you'd want them, some of them pretty close. But see what works for your plant, see how it reacts. But I would say at least, for maybe a foliage plant, like my Soltec light, that one's pretty, those are hanging, my lights are probably 3 or 4 feet below that. hanging from the ceiling. So it kind of just depends on the plant. If it's a high light plant, get it closer. If it's a more, you know, lower light plant that can have it further away or off, not as long, you know, not on, the light's not on as long, you know, see what works.
Let's take another call. Kathleen in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I have two Christmas cactus that were given to me a year ago, beautifully in bloom when they came to me. They've been healthy all year. I've taken care of them. They look nice. About a month ago, they each got one bud, and then they each got one bloom, and they're done. They still look healthy.
Well, at least it did bloom. That's better than none, right? Okay. So, but I'm another thing. It sounds like maybe, and tell me, was the bloom, the part, the one bloom, was it on the side that was closest to the window?
Still there?
Oh, yeah, okay.
One was, the other wasn't. I keep them kind of alternated.
Oh, that's good. So what I was going to say is, you know, I've had people who've had a Christmas cactus and it blooms, but it only blooms on one side. Because that's a plant, because it blooms on the end of every branch usually, or every stem, then you need to turn it all year long while you're, every time you water it, give it a quarter turn so that it gets light all the way around. So that's one thing. But it sounds like it might need a little more light. And I know a lot of people talk about the fact that it needs to be cool. I don't put mine in, you know, they say it has to get cold to bloom. But I guess I have to say that my house does, we keep our thermostat pretty low. So I guess it does get cool. But I have one of those under that big Soltec light. And it's blooming. It didn't get cold. It has the same light all day long. So I'm not quite sure how that works. But I do know it needs a good amount of light. It needs to be moist, you know, consistently moist. Maybe raise the humidity, and really do try to give it some more light and fertilize it all year long and see if that helps. And then maybe try, you know, mine's pretty close. Mine are also close to the windowsill, which, of course, it gets cooler because the windows are cold and it's cold outside. So maybe, and do you have the lights on it? Mine is in a room that the lights aren't on at night because it is a short day plant.
No, I don't have lights on. No, it does not have lights at night.
Okay, see, it's a bad pitch. No, I'm kidding. It's not a bad pitch. If you were listening earlier, that's what we were talking about. I don't know what else to tell you other than give it more light, keep it evenly moist, and turn it all year, and hopefully next year. Have you repotted? Did you repot it this year?
I did not.
See, they like to be a little snug in their pot, too. That helps them bloom. I don't know what else to tell you other than more light. What window is it in?
It's in an east window.
Try a west window and see what happens.
Oh.
Go back a little ways from a south window.
Yeah. Experiment a little bit with it.
Well, you know, what's outside? Is it an obstructed east exposure? Is there a tree outside, an awning, a shrub?
No. I really think I get the best and most light from the east.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
Well, then you've got me. You've stumped me. I don't know why. It did bloom. It did bloom. One bloom.
One bloom, but maybe
it
that
bloom more.
Even though it's the window that gets the most light, it still may not be enough light, I think.
Right. So mine that are blooming. One's under lights, but it's nearest a west window as well, and all my other ones are all right in the west windowsill, and they're all blooming right now.
Oh. There you go, Kathleen. Thanks so much for calling. Join in with your questions. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Veronica emailed to say she's tried growing gardenias off and on for years, but it's never successful. Have any advice?
I will tell you, my sister-in-law took one home from our garden center, and she had a bathroom that had a corner window. It was a really big bathroom in an old house, and that thing bloomed like all the time. It was very humid in there. It had great light, and I think that I brought one in last year. I'm gonna be truthful here. I'm gonna smash this houseplant guru thing, Monica. the title. I had it under that Soltec light. It grew fabulously, but I let it get too dry, and it got spider mites.
Oh.
So it likes humidity. Humid. And it also likes it cool. And I think that, you know, she was in an old farmhouse, and it had that great light, and it was in a bathroom, so it was probably, you know, it was very humid. But I think it got a little cool in that corner, and I think they like that. I know that they bloom better in, like, the fall when it's cooler.
Yeah.
Cool temperatures.
Cool and humid temperatures at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm thinking. Mine got spider mites, and it didn't like it. Don't let it dry out. Give it lots of humidity.
Julie emailed. She's having all kinds of trouble with aphids with her house plants.
Oh, God, really?
They're the worst. Is there any hints to successfully control them? And she wonders if organic or conventional pesticides work better. Which ones work
best? You know what? Aphids, as a rule, are pretty easy to get off because they usually just play new growth. They like that new tender growth. So they're kind of big, right? You can see them. So to wash them off, or just wipe them off, take them to the sink and rinse them off, usually works pretty good for me. But if they keep, I've never had aphids really, you know, talk to me about mealybugs. I've never had aphids a lot, you know, in the house. But I would rinse them off, and then you can use a systemic insecticide if you're okay with that. You could try like a neem oil or a insecticidal soap and spray those. And so there's lots of ways to go about it. But try the least, you know, try first rinsing them off and really wiping them off. And after that, you could try like an insecticidal soap or neem oil. And then making sure, reading the label, of course, to make sure it's good for house plants and your plant that you have them on. And then maybe systemic insecticide, you know, which you put in the soil.
Let's go to Carol in Eagle River next. Hi, Carol. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I've got a Christmas cactus. I've had it for many years. It's still in the original plastic pot, but it's all cracked. When I repot it, do I put it in the same size pot or bigger?
Well, if it's, are you saying it's cracked because it's root bound or that it's just disintegrating because it's old?
It's disintegrating because it's old and probably root bound.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, even though they kind of like to be snug in their pot, that's, you know, if it needs to be up potted to another size pot, that's fine. You may not have a lot of blooms next year or any, but that's okay. I mean, you want the plant to be healthy. It has to be healthy and growing for it to bloom, right? So I would just move it up. If it's really root bound, I would move it up a size. I would go from like a 4 to a 6 inch or a 6 to an 8 inch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not any more than that. And speaking of pots, you mentioned, you know, some pots are better than other pots, and and I hadn't thought about this, but you mentioned the kind of the globe type pots are typically, they look really nice, but they don't necessarily work the best.
No, I love them too. It seems like I keep buying them and I'm like, why did I do this? If you buy a smaller at the top than it is in the middle, so I call it a bulbous pot, then your roots, and I do this outside too, and then it's impossible to get the plant out for the, you know, at the winter time, to throw it, or the fall, to compost it. But if it has that bulbous middle, it's getting filled with roots. And then for you to pull it out of that little tiny top doesn't always work very well. So then you have to cut the root ball away. You know, like I just take a knife and run it around the rim of the pot. So then you're cutting off the bulbous part, because that's the only way to get it out of the pot to repot it. So if you want to, unless you're going to leave it in there forever, or willing to break the pot, bulbous pots are not your best choice.
Maybe you could use one of those grapefruit knives that kind of curve.
Yes. Yeah, my grandma used to have one of those and eat a grapefruit every morning. What ever happened to that? That's a good idea.
It just popped into my head, but it wouldn't be a bad idea if you've got one of those types of pots. Anne in Madison, your turn. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I have a jade plant. And I'm happy with how well it's doing, but I live in a basement apartment, so my really only good source of light is patio doors that open out to the backyard. And in keeping my plants close enough to the window to get as much light as I can. I worry about how cold they're getting. And I wonder, you know, how concerned I should be about that.
You know what? A lot of people, cacti and succulents, that is a succulent, can take a lot more cold, you know, a lot lower temperatures than people know. So, I mean, they can almost, some of them, not all of them, can almost go to, you know, the freezing point. So as long as you, if it's cold and it's still in good light, you just have to worry about the watering at that point, because a wet, cold succulent is a dead succulent. They do not like their feet to be in cold, you know, their potting medium to be cold at all. So, you know, as long as it has good light, and if it's cooler, just don't, you know, keep it on the drier side until it's warm again.
Yeah, I was thinking, we have some cactus plants in Wisconsin. I'm sure you do in Michigan, that are actually native plants. They somehow managed to survive our Wisconsin and Michigan winters.
Yeah, I have plenty of cactus out. So there's quite a few cactus. Now, I'm in the Michigan Cactus Society. There's a lot more hardy. Jade is not. Do not put that outside. But there are a lot of hardy cacti that I didn't even know about. And, of course, you know, we all know about hens and chicks, right? That's a succulent, Semper yeah. Vivum. But there's a lot of opuntias and other kinds of cacti that do fine outside in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Let's take another call. Marsha in Richmond, Illinois. Thank you for calling, Marsha. What can we do for you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call today. Wonderful, wonderful program. So my neighbors and I have the most simple, basic question. With the Christmas cactus, what is the green part of the cactus called? We know leaves on our other plants and fronds on the ferns, but what is that with the cactus, Christmas cactus?
The segments of a Christmas cactus are cladodes, C-L-A-D-O-D-E-S, and it is a modified stem. It's actually a stem, not a leaf.
Oh.
They don't have any leaves.
Marsha, so, did you get that?
Well, bless your heart. Thank you. We're happy. Have a great one. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marsha. Thanks very much for calling. Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, our guest today, her book is titled Bloom, and the subtitle, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. Join in with your questions, comments, or maybe your experiences to share as it comes to these blooming plants. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Lisa Eldred Steinkopf. Her book we're talking about is Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. Join in with your own experiences or questions. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Just a quick note, the U.S. House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol is holding a public hearing on Monday, and we'll bring you live NPR coverage starting a little bit before noon at about 11:50. The committee is expected to consider possible criminal referrals and to vote on them, and their final report is expected later in the week. So you can join us for live NPR coverage of the January 6th hearing Monday, beginning about 10 minutes to noon, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio and also at WPR.org. Right now, though, we're dealing with your flowering houseplants, and our guest, Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, is ready to take your questions. The number's 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@WPR.org. Greg emailed. He brought in a few of his begonias from the garden this last fall, and would like some tips on keeping it, the begonia healthy and blooming.
So first, we think we need to know what kind of begonia he didn't. It's an email, so you don't know. I don't know if he's talking about like bedding begonias. I've never brought those in, or if he's talking about like a cane begonia.
I'm not sure, but let's talk cane begonia.
Okay. Well, even a cane begonia or any kind of begonia that you've used as a houseplant, I feel, and over the years, after killing many, that you need to kind of treat them like a succulent. You just barely see them ready to wilt. Like, you know that tomorrow it's going to be too dry. That's when I water it, and it seems to do wonderfully.
And what about light for them?
I think begonias love an east window. Mine's in an east window, and it loves it. It's the only plant that is in my husband's side of the bedroom window. I'm like, that's a big east window, and I'm not giving up that space. So there's going to be one plant stand with one plant on there. And I did bring it in off the porch, and it was in my guest bathroom, which is right off the porch, so it didn't move too far. And then I put it up in the east window, and it has been alive, a Rex begonia, for 2 years in my house, and I'm thrilled and unbelieving at that point, truly.
How many? I think you mentioned you had like 1,000 houseplants.
Well, I have a sunroom. It could be a nice sunroom, you know. It's got brick floors, and it's got like a curved roof, but it's full of plants. And then every window in the house is full of plants. It's really gotten out of hand.
How much time do you spend on those plants?
That's the problem. Not enough. a lot. I would have to spend a lot of time. They really are really, I had back surgery this year, so they're really not looking well at all because I've had to kind of ignore them. Just throw some water at them when I can. So, yeah.
And somebody wondered, we should have talked about this to begin with, the book itself and how it's organized. Maybe you could just go through that. And you've got wonderful photography in this book.
You know what? Thank you for saying that, because I did all the photography for this book. I was so excited. That was more exciting than writing it for me, that I got to do all the pictures. So, you know, in the beginning, it's just kind of, you know, just normal things that would probably almost, you know, work for any houseplant. You know, just the care of houseplants in general. But then we start the plant, you know, the flowering plant portraits. And I have it broken down into, you know, holiday plants and orchids, gusnarias or gusnarias, however you say it, which includes the African violet, and then cacti and succulents. And then there's the ones that didn't really fit under anything that says more bloom. So that's how we did it.
I enjoy it. And I like the little side tips that you have in there too.
Yeah. Things I think about.
Christina in Glenwood City will give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thank you. I have a large prayer plant from my mother-in-law's funeral, and the plant gets very droopy, typically two times a week. So I'm thinking about repotting it, and I'd like some advice about soil for that particular type of plant and any other care.
Well, it doesn't want to dry out, that's for sure. So I would, and that's why you're dealing with that. So I definitely would put it in a bigger pot, not a huge, you know, just go up one size, especially at this time of year. You know, normally you up pot. That means, you know, move it to a bigger pot in the spring. But if you need to do that because you can't keep it watered, then go ahead and do that. And just use a nice well-drained, like what you would use for a fern. So, you know, something with peat moss, at, you know, some perlite, probably just a commercial mix would be great for that. You don't really need to add anything to it, probably.
Okay. And anything else that's needed there, or just let her go?
Well, I have one right now, too, that's doing good. It does not want to dry out, that is for sure. So that's probably
number one.
It does not want to dry out. I did have a piece. I will tell you, I had a piece that dried out, and it's like it dried up from the base. You know, and the end was still looking good. So I cut it off and I put it in a vase of water, and it has the coolest, it's rooted. I have not planted it yet, but it did root. So, and it was all curled up. Like the end, it was not getting water. So, and they also like a little bit of extra humidity too, because they're little spider mite magnets too.
There you go, Chris.
From experience.
There you go, Christina. Thank you. Kay in Waterford, on to you now. Hi, Kay.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
I have a Hoya plant that I've had for years, and it is so healthy. It's about 4 feet tall, lush. I put a tomato cage in the pot because it was just growing like unbelievable. I cannot get it. It's never blossomed, and I've had it for years. And you would not know that it's not the least bit sickly looking. It's like I have to whack it back sometimes because it just grows like crazy.
Okay, there we go. There's a couple things first. If you potted it up and it has a tomato cage in it, do you keep putting it in a bigger pot?
No.
So keep it kind of root-bound. Even though I discussed that in the book, that I've talked to some people, professors at colleges, they're like, a plant doesn't have to be root-bound, but it stresses it, so then it wants to make more of itself, so of course it's going to flower, send out seeds,
I see.
Get pollinated, send seeds. Okay, so keep it kind of root-bound. But hey, so it's never bloomed, right?
Never.
But you said you've been cutting it back. So if it were going to bloom and it was sending out its little bloom stalks, they're called peduncles, and maybe it hadn't bloomed yet, maybe you didn't notice them because they take a while to grow. If you cut that off, then it's got to grow a new one. With Hoyas, they bloom on the same little stalk called a peduncle every time it blooms. So I've never, ever cut those off. So I would let it go and not trim it. Make sure it's, quit fertilizing it for a while. Maybe that will help.
Especially if it's the high nitrogen. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, because it is a succulent, right? And you're just making it send out new growth. We want it to flower. So let's keep it a little hungry, maybe. and you said you're giving it good light. So mine's in a south window, and it blooms quite a bit. So
yeah,
it does take a while to mature, but it sounds like you have a mature plant. If it has the right light, it's not being up potted, so it's trying to grow more roots. Let it keep it kind of root bound, keep it kind of hungry. As when I say hungry, that doesn't mean don't give it light. That means let's hold back on some, giving it some vitamins, your fertilizer, and see what happens. But don't quit cutting it back, because I'm afraid you're cutting off the flower stalk.
Yeah, and if you've got a high nitrogen fertilizer, you might want to lower that nitrogen and go for more phosphorus.
Yes, we'll see what happens.
And see what happens, yeah. Thanks, Kay. Good luck. Annette in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Annette.
Yes, hi, good morning. I have a jade plant that's probably about 40 years old. It's in a 12 or 14-inch pot. I must be doing something right because it's growing well. But I try to keep it on the dry side, and I don't really put it in direct sun. And I'm just wondering, does it really like more sun? Right now it's in a west window in the winter, and in the summer I put it in a south window because it doesn't get any direct sun there. And I'm just wondering, do jade plants really like lots of sun in the summer? And
some people take them outside, so yeah, it can take a lot of sun. Of course, it would need to be acclimated. I have seen jade plants that are sunburned. If you want to take it outside, but putting it in the south sun, it sounds like if you've had it for that long, I'm not going to lie to you. My jade plants and I do not get along. I don't know why. I just can't.
Yeah.
So if you've got a 40-year-old one, I think you're doing really well. But is the point that you want it to grow bigger, or that you want it to bloom, or because it sounds
Actually, it's doing great.
It
has bloomed. It does get little white flowers every now and then. But I just want to know if I can. It's doing great. I just want to know if I can do something to make it happier.
Think it sounds like it's one of the happy. It's blooming and it's growing and it's 40 years old. I think it's a very happy jade plant.
So it's and I'm like jealous. To be on the dry side.
Well, yeah, you don't want to keep it. If you get it too wet, it can rot. I mean, that you don't want to keep any succulent. I mean, because it has all those, it has all that moisture stored up in those leaves and in those big, huge stems that it has. So I mean, if you thought it was too dry, they would start to wrinkle like your fingers do when you're in the bathtub too long. then you would worry. But otherwise, I think it sounds like you're doing a great job.
There you go, Annette. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, our guest today. Her book is called Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. And she also has a blog, and she's had it since 2011, so a long time now. It's titled The Houseplant Guru. Our guest for Garden Talk, I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here talking houseplants today with our guest, Lisa Eldred Steinkopf. She's got the blog, The Houseplant Guru, but she also has a new book out. It's titled Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round. What houseplant questions do you have? Do you have a favorite flowering plant? Call in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Dave in Appleton. Dave, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. So I consider myself a gardener, but I do no indoor plants at all. But a friend of mine decided to give me this huge fig plant, which I know nothing about fig plants or how to grow anything in the house. So I stuck it in the basement and I watered it. I have a big tray underneath that. It'll take about 2 gallons or more of water, maybe a gallon or so before it actually enters the tray. And that'll last 3 weeks to a month. I didn't know what else to do with it, but it is producing leaves like you wouldn't believe. It is in an eastern window. The basement is cooler on the cooler side. They did have it outside during the summer. It produced one or two figs on it. Am I doing the wrong thing by keeping it green during this winter and then putting it out? It's probably majorly root bound. I'm going to be gone for a couple of months in the winter, and I figure that I'll just majorly water it again and let it dry out. What do you think?
Oh, man. Do you have that one, Larry? Because I'm not sure about an outdoor fig inside. If it's producing figs, he's not talking about like a fiddle leaf fig. He's talking about like a ficus, like carica or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I don't know. I think you're going to have trouble, Dave, when it comes to being away for 2 months.
I agree. Yes.
And also,
you know, I have one outside that fell between the crack of the house and the patio. So it's on the west side. So it's against the brick and it dies down every year and then sends out leaves every summer. And it's not a hardy fig. You know, I mean, it's a fig like that. So, you know, maybe let it go dormant. Let it dry out and take it away from the window and maybe.
Maybe it'll work. Yeah. I think if you're not going to have anybody coming in the house to water, that might be the best approach.
And put it someplace cool, like cool and dark. But don't quote me on that. But I would think somehow you have to let it go dormant if you're going to be, especially if you're going to be gone for 2 months. That means no leaves and in a dark place.
Yeah. I would give that a try, but we're not guaranteeing anything here, Dave.
Or give it back to the friend that gave it to you for the winner.
Oh, my goodness. And, well, maybe somebody else has had the same situation and can join in with a suggestion as well. The number is 800-642-1234 for any solutions or for another question that you might have. 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Wayne in Columbia County called, couldn't stay on the phone, but he wants to know how he can tell when houseplants need to be repotted.
Oh, well, like the lady that called in earlier, she was having to water her plant twice a week. So it should, your plant should be able to last being watered at least a week, if not longer, before you have to water it again. If you have to water it more often, if the roots have come out the drainage hole, your pot has become distorted. If it's in a, I've had pots that, you know, they're just kind of a flimsy plastic grow pot, and it starts being deformed because the roots are so full. So those are the, you know, you're getting yellowing leaves because it dries out too much. Those are all indications that it's time to up pot it. Usually it's something you do in the spring, but if you really can't keep the water on it, and it's very root bound, you know, extremely root bound, then you can do it now. Just only go up one size and keep an eye on it.
Jean emailed. She has a very large and older Christmas cactus, and it's gotten too big. How do you trim one back?
Well, what's good is after it blooms, so wait for it to bloom, because you don't want, if you cut off the ends, you're cutting the blooms off. You can trim it back quite a bit. Because wherever you, if there's one stem segment, that's what those cladodes that we talked about earlier, those flattened stems, if you cut it off, it's going to grow two new ones. So next year, where there was one bloom this year, there'll be two blooms next year, or even more. So it's not bad to give it a good trim. Just make sure that when you do that, you change your watering, you know, habits, so you're not watering it the same, because it doesn't use as much water without as much greenery on it. But it's, and then use those stem segments to, especially if it's a true Christmas cactus, because you can't buy those very easily any longer, you know, make some new starts and give them to friends.
What do you mean you can't buy them any longer?
Well, there's a Thanksgiving cactus, which is Lumbergera, however you say it, truncata. And that's the one you find at the stores now. And it has the leaves, or the stem segments, I should say, that have the little points on the sides. If you find a true Christmas cactus, it only blooms pink. It usually doesn't bloom. It can start blooming now, but it blooms after the Thanksgiving cactus. And it's what all the hybrids have been made from. And it has the edges of the stem segments, those little flattened leaves for people that don't, you know, that's what they think they are. They're rounded. The edges are rounded. They don't have those little points. And they only bloom in the pink color. And they're old. They, like, usually people, there's some I see on Facebook, there's people that have had them in their family for 100 years. And you usually can't buy those unless you find an older, there's an older greenhouse near me here in Southeast Michigan that has one, and it just keeps propagating, so you can buy the true Christmas cactus.
Mm.
So there people like to find those.
Yeah. Aaron in Ashland, we go to you next. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering about how you can get lavender to grow in your house, in your bedroom.
Mm.
I'm just going to say you probably can't. Oh boy, that might be. Most if it's a lavender that's hardy here in Michigan or Wisconsin, you know, the upper Midwest, that's outside, it needs to be dormant in the winter. If you get like a Spanish lavender, and sometimes you can find those as a gift, like in a florist, they're not hardy here. So you would have more of a chance to keep that alive in your home. But I've never really had luck with lavender in your home. Herbs are very hard. They have to have a lot of light. If you're growing it under supplemental light, maybe. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, I would agree with everything you just said, to be perfectly honest. I can see why you'd want one, Aaron, and I can see why you'd want it in your bedroom.
You know, they have good linen sprays that smell like lavender. I use one myself. Lavender sachets, you know, I don't know about your bedside table.
If you want to give it a try, take Lisa's advice and see what happens. Thank you, Aaron. David and Holman will go to you. Hi, David.
Hi there. I am interested in being able to grow a camellia inside.
Camellia.
A camellia. I've never tried that. I've never seen one. I don't know how you would do that because it's. I still think don't they still go dormant a little bit in. I mean, in the South, or not?
I think yeah, you can get them in the South. I actually remember when I was a child, we had some that were 6 feet tall, but that was in Southern California.
Well, that's not to say that you couldn't grow them inside because I mean I was just at. I was at my local botanical garden in the conservatory last week, and they have one in there growing, and it's flowering. So I guess it's possible. I think that you would have to really research it. I've never even seen one to buy here in Michigan. So I guess you'd have to bring one from up or order one online or get one from down south and then try it in your house. I would assume it would need some good humidity, like a gardenia, and really good light.
Yeah, really good light. The one you saw was in a greenhouse.
Yes, I'm in a big conservatory with lots of humidity and lots of light.
Yeah, lots of humidity and lots of light. I wonder if he had a lot of light, like the gardenia in the bathroom.
Yeah.
If you had a lot of light in your bathroom, that might be the place to put it. I don't think so. Yeah, thanks, David, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. Number 800-642-1234. Sharon in Minocqua emailed. She's been struggling to get her amaryllis to bloom again. Any suggestions?
Well, the thing is to let it grow. You have to keep it growing all summer. Like after it blooms now, it's this time of year, whenever you get it to bloom, then it's going to send out leaves. And you have to keep those leaves going with really good light. A lot of people put them outside for the summer. Fertilize it like you would your normal house plant. And then this is the man that sells us bulbs, at our garden center, the representative for the bulb company. He's like, it doesn't matter what it's doing, but if you want to bloom your Christmas at Labor Day, either, a little bit before Labor Day, quit watering it so it'll die down and rest, or just cut the green off at that point. And then he said, you let it rest for 5-6 weeks, and then 6 weeks before you want it to bloom, you start watering it again. So,
fairly straightforward.
It's all about getting that bulb to be, letting the leaves grow and replenish that bulb, because everything that you need is in that bulb when you buy it. That's why they have the waxed ones now. Everything. Or you can force it in water. Everything that the bulb needs the first year is already there. It's all stored up. But they have to restore that up to blossom again.
Makes sense. It makes sense. Back to lavender for just a minute. Susan sent us an email. She has a non-hardy lavender living its second winter inside. She uses artificial light, and she says don't overwater.
No, it's a Mediterranean plant. So, lavender does not want to by any way be wet, standing in water or even overly moist. So that makes sense. I mean, I think it really is about the light and getting that watering, just like with any house plant, right? Water and light to make sure it's what it wants.
We just had Sharon's question about reblooming an amaryllis, and this time of year, obviously, and as we've been talking, there are a lot of poinsettias sold, and we get lots of questions later about how to get them to rebloom. And it's a difficult process in some ways. Do you have advice on that?
I've tried. I wrote a blog post about that. I went on a lot of. I do a lot of garden walks because I write for another for a local magazine here that. Called Michigan Gardener. And so I go to garden walks and I write about these gardens. And I've been to a lot of gardens where this one lady had a poinsettia that she wheeled it out from it was under her patio, like she had a two-story patio, wheeled it out from the basement for the summer and wheeled it back in. And I'm talking wheel it because it was like 3 foot tall and about 3 feet around. It was huge. But I don't know if that they get them to bloom again because you really would have to. I mean, I've also seen on Facebook where people are like, I put my poinsettia in the closet now for a month that's not going to work either. It has to have, it does have to have light and photosynthesize, but it needs those long nights, like 14 hours of darkness with no light being switched on, or no, the neighbor's light being switched on, or a street light. So to me, it's a beautiful houseplant without flowering, you know, without coloring, the bracts coloring back up. If you get it to do it, yahoo. If you don't, it's still a beautiful houseplant, and go buy a new one.
Yeah. That's, one thing about them is they're relatively inexpensive.
Right.
And so we just get a new
one. It is a beautiful houseplant. It has like those oak-shaped leaves. It has red petioles, a lot of them. I mean, it really is a beautiful, just a green houseplant. And if it's in a place where, you know, you don't have the lights turned on at night, like in a, you know, a spare bedroom or something, and there's no lights outside, it may color up for you, but it's not going to color up like the ones you see in the store, in my opinion. I've never seen one or heard of anyone that got one to look as good as they do coming out of a greenhouse.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. You know, we were talking about care for houseplants earlier, and one of the things I liked in, one of the terms I liked in your book was grooming your plants. And
yes.
And a lot of people, I myself included, don't spend enough time on keeping our plants clean. And maybe talk about why that's important. And you even use lemon, if I'm not mistaken.
And you know what? I will give credit to where credit is due. Elvin McDonald told me about that. I don't know if you know who he is. He lives in Iowa. He's written about 40 houseplant books back in the first craze. And he's like, you know, you can use lemon. Because I'm like, don't use anything. No leaf shine in your leaves. Nothing like that. Never. And that's true. But lemon does work, but try it on one leaf before you do your whole plant and then, you know, are really mad at me because it did something to your leaves. And then I rinse it off right after that. But the point is, you got to keep your leaves clean, because just like your windows being clean, you know, they need all the light they can get, especially if you are just brought them in from their summer outside, and then they have dusty leaves. That dust is blocking the light that's getting to the leaves, which is making their food and keeping them alive. So you wash your windows, you wash your screens or remove them, and you wash your leaves, and that's going to totally make your plants, you know, light capturing abilities be much, you know, much better and more efficient.
Yeah, and it makes a perfect sense to me. And it's something I think we tend not to do as much as we should, for sure. There's another tip that is one of these little side tips that you have in your book. You had one on using ripening fruit to promote blooms.
Now, that's mostly for, you know, your bromeliads. You know, you can put it, it kind of forces them to bloom, but they're letting, and it, this is a, and I don't know how true this is, but it totally makes sense. Think about where all your flowering, your flowers and plants are in your grocery store. They're in the fruit department, right? Where there's all the ethylene gas from ripening fruit being given off. Those flowers aren't probably going to last as long as they would if you had bought them someplace that didn't have ripening fruit, but that's a good marketing ploy, isn't it? You're going to come back next week and buy more flowers because they didn't last as long. So, yeah, the ethylene gas coming off of the ripening fruit does help with making your flower, at least your bromeliad bloom.
So put them in a bag with your apple. Put an apple in a plastic bag or something for what, a day or something?
I don't remember what I think it's more than that. So maybe a week, maybe. I'm not actually positive. Well, all right, good. But I did pass that by the president of the Bromeliad Society, who is a good friend. So, of the Michigan Bromeliad Society, I'm like, how long do you do that for? Yeah. Okay, so you're such as an apple, a week. So he said a week. So it's a week, for a week, and if all other factors are met to promote flowering, such as the right light, the right water, the right potting mix, and the right light, then it will flower.
Well, that was an interesting little side tip. Sue in Mequon has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I bought some daffodils and muscari bulbs and never got them into the ground. Do I have to force them and then do something next spring, or can I just store them?
Hmm.
Well, I say as long as the ground, we still have bulbs, as long as the ground isn't frozen, you can plant your bulbs.
I think
it's not too late.
Okay. And if it is too late, then what do you recommend?
Well, you can, you could still pot them in pots and put them like in your garage so that they're still mimicking that, they're not, you know, they're still mimicking that cold that they need, and then bring them out in the spring. And or even later in the, you know, they only need how many, 17 weeks of cold, and then you can, when you force them, and then you could force them, put them in a refrigerator without any ripening fruit, and and bring them out and force them. You can do that for sure.
Well, it's no matter what, it involves a little extra work, doesn't it?
It does, yes. The forcing of the bulbs, I have not, I'll be honest, I have not done that because I never have. If I don't, and I have, it's a long time ago, I did have some tulip bulbs that did not freeze, and they were still firm, and I planted them in like March. No lie, this was a long time ago, and they did have leaves, but they did not flower that year.
But then they flowered the next year.
They did flower the next year. But, I mean, that was probably a fluke. But as long, I mean, if you could get someone to plant them now, if the ground's not frozen, it's not too late.
It's amazingly enough, it's true. It is true. Oh my goodness.
It's longer to wait. It's better not to plant your bulbs when the ground is still really warm. You just want them to get in there and maybe send out some roots, but you don't want them to grow.
Yeah.
So
Sue, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Lisa, thank you so much for coming back and being with us again. It was a lot of fun. And
it was fun. Thank you.
I enjoy your book a lot and your blog. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, our guest today. She writes the Houseplant Guru blog and has a new book out that we've been talking about today. It's titled Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year Round. And by the way, as we mentioned, some great photography in her book. Really wonderful photos, and she took them all herself. Quickly note that the House subcommittee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol is holding its hearing on Monday, and we'll be bringing you live NPR coverage starting a bit before noon at about 11:50. The committee is expected to consider possible criminal referrals and vote on them. And their final report is expected later in the week. So you can join us for live coverage Monday beginning about 10 minutes to noon right here on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. And Monday, at least the first hour, our physical therapists are back to give us some easy aerobic dance exercises that could enhance your mood. How about that? That's Monday on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.